crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. The cross where Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours, your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can't measure what Jesus holds in store. The love the cross requires, cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion, only he can fashion your heart to move as his. Cross, our desires rest in you. O Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace you bore upon your shoulder. Embrace the that comes from dying. Come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endure then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. The cross, embrace the cross of Jesus.
Jeremiah 37, as we continue the study of Jeremiah and his life, his imprisonment. Today, we're looking at the fall of Jerusalem. Jeremiah has been trying to tell them that's what's going to happen. They've been rejecting the message, and so we are looking at three chapters this morning, and we will go through them fairly quickly. So follow along as we look at nine parts of my outline this morning, and there they are. You can see those. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll see the message that God has for King Zedekiah and for the people of Jerusalem, and his imprisonment, and how Jerusalem was taken there by Babylon there. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and it certainly is applicable to our lives. We thank you that we can look at history that you have recorded for us, and we can see how we can put certain things into practice in our own lives from the lessons we learn from Scripture. So we pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our guide into truth, would guide us into truth, and also the Holy Spirit, who is the one who convicts us, will speak to our hearts and draw us closer to your heart. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look, first of all, prayer is needed, of course, because Jerusalem is about to be captured there. And the request for prayer is in chapter 37, where they say in verse 3, pray now unto the Lord our God for us there. And so here's a request for prayer, but there's a problem with this request. And that problem is back in verse 2. It says, neither he nor his servants nor the people did hearken to the words of the Lord. And so sometimes there's some things we don't need to pray about. Because if God has already commanded us to do something, we don't need to pray if we need to do it or not there. We just need to obey. And they were not obeying there. And the request is, pray now to the Lord our God for us. And it's a wonderful thing that we can have intercessory prayer, that we can pray for one another when we have needs there. But again, there must be obedience to God's word if we expect God to answer our prayers. And so the reason that prayer was needed is in verse 8, because the Chaldeans shall come and fight against the city and burn it with fire. God had a plan for Jerusalem, and that plan was that they be defeated. Now, this was a temporary plan because he's eventually going to restore. But sometimes God has plans in our lives that aren't what we want. This is not what Zedekiah wanted. He refused to hear. And Jeremiah kept telling him over and over again there what God was going to do. And we need to learn to accept what God has for us, even if it's not what we want, because oftentimes these things are just temporary. Well, they didn't like the message, so Jeremiah goes to prison. In verse 13, when the captain, he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah. And he said to Jeremiah at the end of verse 13, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. And so he makes this accusation against Jeremiah that you're a traitor. You've gone to the other side. And the reason they called him a traitor is because he said that Jerusalem was going to be captured. He was telling the people what God told him to say, but it wasn't what they wanted to hear. It was the truth there, though it wasn't the desired message. And sometimes when people hear the truth, they don't like it. There's a better message that they want, and oftentimes that better message to them is not from the word of the Lord. And we know that God's message is always better. So they make the accusation, and after the accusation, he says to them in verse 14, it's false. I haven't fallen away to the Chaldeans. And notice what they did in verse 15. They smote him, and they put him in prison in the house of Jonathan, for they had made Jonathan's house the prison. So now they're going to hit him, they're going to beat him, they're going to put him in prison, all because he preached what God told him to preach. Not what they wanted to hear, but what God told him to say. Well, we come down to verse 17. Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? What a wonderful question. Is there any word from God? Jeremiah, does God have anything to say to us? Don't you love those next two words Jeremiah said? There is. There is. God has given us a word. Aren't you glad that God has given us a word today? The word of God is ours. The word of the Lord hasn't changed. Jeremiah had given them the word of the Lord. And he asked the question, is there a word of the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yes, there is. It's the same message that I've been giving you. The word of God has not changed. And we know that the word of God never will change. God's word is eternal. And he continues to give out God's word as God told him. Whether it's good news, whether it's bad news, whether the people are going to like it, whether they're going to receive it, he is faithful in giving out God's word. And so today we circle those words that answers the question, is there any word from the Lord? There is. We have the word of God. Well, and so then Jeremiah appeals to him in verse 20. He says, therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the king, Let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan. And so he has a request that he not go back to that prison of Jonathan's house, and he makes that request there. Well, he is in prison, and as he continues to preach, we see the power of his words. And verse 4 of chapter 38, as we move into the next chapter now, the princes said to the king, "We beseech thee, let this man, Jeremiah, be put to death. For," here's why they wanted him to die, "he weakens the hands of the men of war." And how was he weakening the hands of the men of war? He was doing that with words. He was preaching unto them, and the power of words can be very discouraging. And here, these words were discouraging to these people. They were ungodly people. They weren't looking for the word of God. They were looking for a good word, something they wanted to hear, and they were discouraged by it. And so because of that, in the end of verse 4, he says, he's speaking such words to them, "For this man seeks not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." And that was a lie. They came with this lie saying Jeremiah doesn't have the welfare of Israel in mind. But he did, because he was giving them what God had said. Now, they had a different view of what the welfare of Israel was than what God had there. And that's usually the way of unsaved men. Their view of what God says and wants is different than what God says and wants. And so here, he is not discouraging them, but he's telling them the truth so they can prepare for it. The Bible teaches this principle that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so God was going to have them go through this captivity, but God, in the end, has something better for them. So in verse 6, they took Jeremiah, they cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mud. And so here he is there. He's preaching this message that God had told him to preach. They didn't like it, and now they're going to take him and they're going to lower him down into the dark dungeon. And here he is being mistreated, persecuted, because he spoke the word of God. And to them it was discouraging, because they didn't want to hear it. Now we need to be careful, because sometimes we can have discouraging words, and we need not use discouraging words. But sometimes the discouragement comes not because of the words, but because of the heart of the people. They're not ready to receive them. But not only do we see the power in words to discourage, we also see that words have power to deliver as well. In verse 8, Ebed-Melech went forth. Now here's a name we don't know much about. We don't usually talk much about Ebed-Melech there. He went forth out of the king's house, and he spake to the king, saying in verse 9, "These men have done evil in all that they've done to Jeremiah, whom they've cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger." Verse 10, the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Ebed-Melech, verse 11, took the men with him, and they went into the house of the king under the treasury, and they took from thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and they let them down by cords into the dungeon. And so here goes Ebed-Melech with the boldness to go to the king in defense of Jeremiah, knowing that that could have caused him to be thrown into the dungeon with Jeremiah. Who's going to stand with Jeremiah whenever everyone else, even the king, is against him? But here's Ebed-Melech, who has compassion for Jeremiah, and also he has the boldness to go to the king, and he does that, and they take 30 men with him. And obviously they're going to pull him up from the dungeon, and Ebed-Melech's not going to have the strength to pull him up himself. And he goes and gets these rotten rags, and he throws them down to Jeremiah. And you think Jeremiah's going to say, I'm not putting those filthy things around me, you know. No, he doesn't care what the condition of the rags there. And here's Ebed-Melech, and he is willing to go and be used of the Lord. And God is going to use the words of Ebed-Melech to deliver Jeremiah. And we think about the Word of God and how the Word of God has power to deliver us from the mire of sin there. And here is Ebed-Melech and these 30 men using these old dirty rags. And aren't you glad that God can use dirty old rags there? Because that's how we are, Ebed-Melech as well. But God can use anyone to show forth compassion, even as he's doing here with Ebed-Melech. Remember Jude 1:22 has a little short verse. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And here is Ebed-Melech. He had compassion. And his compassion for Jeremiah in the dungeon, he wasn't just sitting in his home on the sofa saying, boy, I really feel sorry for Jeremiah. His compassion moved him to do something. And true biblical compassion is not just feeling sorry for someone, but there's action involved. And so was the compassion of God for us. It moved him so much that he sent his son to deliver us from the miry sin in which we found ourselves there. And so they deliver him with these old rags now. So we come to verse 14. So Zedekiah the king sent. He took Jeremiah the prophet unto him, in the third entry that's in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. So he's taking Jeremiah in privately now, and he's seeking some private counsel from Jeremiah. It says he took him there to the third entry that's in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? If I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? Jeremiah said, what's the use? I've given you counsel. I've told you what the Word of God says. So are you going to throw me back in prison? You're going to put me to death there? And so sometimes private counsel is unwanted there. He didn't want Jeremiah's counsel. You know what he wanted? He was looking for somebody to put their stamp of approval on what they wanted. But that's not what God's man does. God's man, Jeremiah, is going to tell them what he needs to hear and not just what he wants to hear. You know, and the world wants us to change our message to conform to what they believe and what they want. But the Bible says this is the Word of God. God's Word stands forever. It is eternal and it is pure. And we dare not change what God has said. And Jeremiah, knowing that he might be thrown in the dungeon again, he was bold and he was not going to dare change the message. He was even bold enough to say to the king, why should I tell you? You're not going to do anything with it anyway. You don't want to hear what I have to tell you. You only want to hear what you want to hear. And aren't you glad that Jeremiah wasn't that kind of preacher that would change his message there? Well, not only is counsel unwanted at times, sometimes we see that the counsel is unchanged, and that is God's word. Verse 17, Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord. Do you want to know what the counsel is? In verse 17, he says, go forth unto the king of Babylon. Verse 18, but if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon, he's already told him there that if you try to resist what God has, then you're going to pay the price for it. But if you go forth and allow them to take you captivity, that's what God has. Obey the word of the Lord. Jeremiah was simply the messenger. Verse 19, Zedekiah, the king said to Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews. And so here we see that Zedekiah is fighting the will of God. He wants his own way. He doesn't want the will of God. And we never do well when we fight against the will of God. Even if it's not what we would have chosen for ourselves, That's not what God had for Zedekiah. That's not what he had for them. So Zedekiah says, I'm afraid. But verse 20, Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord. And so if you want to overcome the fear, Zedekiah, you've got to obey. And whenever we obey the voice of the Lord, God gives victory over the fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of God's will that we might not fully understand. Jeremiah says, Zedekiah, just obey and do what God has said. And not only will you overcome the fear, he says in verse 20, obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so shall it be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. It overcomes failure. In my Bible, I've drawn an arrow to those words, it shall be well, to the word obey. Because those things are connected. He says, Zedekiah, if you obey the word of the Lord, Zedekiah, you've tried to get things to go your way by doing your way and what you want, but that's not what God's word has said. He says, if you obey, it's going to be well with you. This promise is conditional. But Zedekiah refused to obey. So things weren't too well with him, as we will see pretty soon. Because the next thing we see is the price of disobedience. The price of disobedience is defeat in verse 22. Behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on. Notice that phrase, thy friends have set thee on there. And then he goes on to say, right after that, and they have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire. Well, Jeremiah's feet were sunk in the mire temporarily. But now he says, Zedekiah, your feet are sunk in the mire because you have refused to obey the voice of the Lord, and your friends have set you on. Your friends have told you what you want to hear. But it's not from the Lord. And what good has it done you? It has not delivered you at all there. These friends were telling him lies. They were telling him what he wanted to hear. And Jeremiah was a true prophet of God. Today, there are people who want to believe that there is no hell, that a loving God would not send anybody to hell. They want to hear that. And so they convince themselves that that's true. That's not what God's word has said. They convince themselves that there's no God to whom we answer, that has judgment for disobedience. But that's what God's word teaches here. And so whenever a person disobeys the word of God, the price of disobedience is defeat, and it is also death in verse 23. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. And fire, of course, is used for judgment in the Bible there. And Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And here he says, thou shalt not escape. If you disobey God, there's no escape. You can change the message. You can make it say what you want it to say, but you're not going to escape. There will be death. There will be fire because of your disobedience. Well, through all of this, Jeremiah is going to be protected. God has his hand on him, and no one's going to be able to hurt God's man until God is finished with what he has called him to do. And so, in verse 24, Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. And so Zedekiah has this strategy. He's telling Jeremiah, I'll protect you, and I'll see that nothing happens to you, but don't tell anybody what you have told me in this private council there. And so his way is certainly not going to work. He thinks that he's the one protecting Jeremiah, but actually God is the one all along who is giving Jeremiah the safety and protection. Verse 28, it tells us, so Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So the matter was not known. Nobody knew. When Jeremiah had met in private counsel with Zedekiah, they didn't tell anybody what was said there, and that was their strategy for Jeremiah's protection. But the site of his protection was in the court of the prison, the very place where he really didn't want to be was the place where God protected him whenever the Chaldeans came to capture Jerusalem. And sometimes the place where we don't want to be is where God has us for our ultimate good and our protection, even as we see in Jeremiah. So now they're coming and they're going to take the city. We come to chapter 39, the last chapter we'll see for this morning. And Zedekiah is there. Verse 3 says, and all the princes of the king of Babylon came in. And then he lists those names in verse 3. And it came to pass, verse 4, when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, and they fled and went forth out of the city by night by way of the king's garden by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out by the way of the plain. And so Zedekiah says, I'm going to escape. I'm going to get out of here by the way of the plain. He goes a different way, but his way didn't work. He didn't do what Jeremiah had told him to do. And whenever we go our own ways instead of the way that God has told us, it never works there. Man's ways are not as God's ways. Man's thoughts are not as God's thoughts. Well, we see not only the unsuccessful escape, we see the unmerciful execution beginning at verse 5. The Chaldeans' army pursued after them, and they overtook Zedekiah. He thought he could escape, doing his own way, going his own direction. Verse 6, the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. So how unmerciful was that to have Zedekiah standing there watching his sons slaughtered right before his eyes? And if that's not bad enough, verse 7, after they did this before his eyes, verse 7 says, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and he bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And so we see the unmerciful execution. And so he didn't want to go away to Babylon. God said, yield and be captive. But he says, no, I'm going to escape. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to listen to the message that I want to hear. And where did he end up? He ended up in Babylon. Like, if he had done willingly, he could have done so without his eyes being put out, not his sons being killed. And so the Bible teaches us a lesson that one day everyone is going to bow to Jesus, but it won't be willingly there. And so here was Zedekiah, had the choice to willingly do what God had said, or ultimately it was going to happen anyway. And people who refuse to bow to Jesus today willingly, the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but it'll be too late then, as it was too late here for Zedekiah. And so now we come to the pronouncements from God through other people. The announcement regarding Jeremiah came through Zedekiah, as we see in verse 11 and 12. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said in verse 12. Take him, look well to him, do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. Boy, what kind of captivity is that? Where they give instruction to, you know, whatever he says to do to him, you do to him there. And so here he has the freedom there. And God has used this King Nebuchadnezzar to give Jeremiah his desire. Whatever he says. And what was that? What was his desire? Verse 14. So they sent, they took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. That's what he wanted. He wanted to dwell among God's people together with them. And God is now giving him the desire of his heart. So he dwelt there among the people. Is that your desire? To dwell among God's people? Whenever they said, give Jeremiah whatever he wants, he said, all I want is to go home with God's people. What a wonderful place to be in the presence of God's people. Well, there was not only a pronouncement of God through Nebuchadnezzar to Jeremiah, there was a pronouncement of God concerning Ebed-Melech. Remember him? That Ethiopian eunuch who had compassion and boldness and went and was the one who caused Jeremiah to be lifted from the miry pit there in verse 16. He says, go speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'll bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord. And thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for prey unto thee, because, here's the reason that Ebed-Melech is delivered, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. And here's a man that we know very little about, but we see that he saw Jeremiah in the pit, and with his compassion, he goes to the king and ministers to God's servant there. And his boldness and his compassion demonstrated his trust in God. And God saw that. He says, you've trusted in me. You had the boldness to go to the king. You were doing it for my servant Jeremiah. And because of this, God rewarded and honored Ebed-Melech. So we come to the conclusion here. And we see in this story of these three chapters, there are two sides. There's the side of Zedekiah and his friends, who set thee on, as we saw that phrase earlier there. His friends were telling him the things he wanted to hear. But all it did was to get his sons killed and his eyes punched out there. Or the other side is Jeremiah and his friend, Ebed-Melech, his compassionate friend, his bold friend, who saw the need and went to his aid and used these old dirty rags to deliver God's servant there. One side is a side of destruction and fire. It's a side of blindness. The other side, the side of Jeremiah and Ebed-Melech, is a dwelling with God's people. And that's what Jeremiah wanted, and God gave that to him. He was able to dwell with God's people. He was faithful to God. One of these days, those of us who are on the Lord's side, the side of Jeremiah, and that faithful Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, we one day will also spend eternity with God's people delivered from sin. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the deliverance that is ours. And Lord, it's because of the cross of Calvary and Christ who came there and died willingly for our sins. And Lord, we can have that deliverance. Lord, we thank you even today as we dwell among your people. What a blessing it is to gather with God's people to worship the God of Jeremiah, the God of Ebed-Melech, the God of thousands of others. And one day in glory, we will all fellowship together. You have great things in store for us. But sometimes, like Jeremiah, we are in the prison, we're in the mire. Lord, sometimes we're in captivity. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we would not choose for ourselves, but knowing that your will is always perfect, your plan is always good. Help us to be faithful as Jeremiah and Ebed-Melech were, even in times of distress. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.